I'm going to say I'm going to read, and you can ask any questions at any time. But if you have other questions, it's also okay. What's that? For an ordinary person within Varnasha, it is important for one's liberation if you have a son, because the son, after die, can offer shrad ceremony or offering of prasadam to Vishnu, and in that way he can release you from any unforeseen problems that you may have after you leave the body. We don't know completely what is going to happen to us, what the daiva, kamana, daiva, netrena, your next birth. Of course, if you're thinking of Krishna, it doesn't matter whether you have sons or daughters or anything. You go back to Krishna. But supposing you're not, subject to some degree of your karma. Interesting, this Christian group, first of all, they very much accept the concept of karma, reincarnation. So, so for that person, the word putra means hell, where one goes, or, you know, you can, different ways you can look at hell. You can see it metaphorically, or you can see it as a real place. Now, for practical purposes, we accept this as reality, but in another sense, it's a rod not put on the disciples' coffers. It's like a dream. It has many similarities to a dream. Everything's finished at the time of death. So, there are other levels of existence which could also be compared to dreams, subtle existence. So hell, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote, at one point he wrote, when he was young, he wrote one edition of it, and when he was older, he edited it. Now, the problem was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or any of our acharyas for that matter, their lives were simultaneously transcendental and at the same time appearing to be mundane. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was associating with Britishers to some degree. He read James Joyce and some of the other novels written by the Quran, some of the other things. He was a bit of a, well, he was associated with Brahmoists, Brahmoism, which is sort of like Smarta Brahmanism. Anyway, he was not a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He was a Shakta. His family were Shaivites. They were landowners and quite wealthy, and they were Shaivites. There's, I heard it that he ate meat. And, of course, Bengali, he ate fish. And that also up to about 6 months or so before his initiation. He received initiation from one, about Calcutta's elite, the young. Calcutta has always been a place of scholarship, not Calcutta, but Bengal in general. A lot of poets and philosophers, even one, I think the only Bengali to win the Nobel Prize. Chaitanyaite of types. But anyway, at that particular time of Bhaktivinoda, Vaishnavism was more Sahajism. The scholars didn't give it much credence. They were influenced by the West, by the scientific revolution, etc., etc. And the idea of hell being a place did not at all appeal to them, so he explained it in terms of metaphor. It's just a metaphor. The concept of hell is just to keep control of people, make them pious. Experience that you have of different degrees, which would indicate different levels of hell. So anyway, our acharyas they had different lead-ins to devotional service. One idea of hell. Put. And tra means to free. So putra is a son who can free you from the hell known as put. So for those type of people it's important to have a son. But for those who are already Vaishnavas, son or daughter, it's important that they should be Krishna conscious. A daughter can also do nice preaching. And anyone who gets liberation can liberate 14 generations backwards and forwards just by association, just by association with a particular genealogy tree, a family tree, the tree becomes blessed by having the pure Vaishnava in the tree. So whether, you know, you have a daughter and your daughter has a son, and that son becomes a great Vaishnava, then you're also benefited. So the most important thing, apart from any other scriptural ideas, is that the atmosphere where you live, as much as possible, should be Krishna conscious. Should be a loving atmosphere. Should be sheltered, but at the same time, Krishna's. Okay, I'll say yes. Go with the maturity. I don't know. Why speculate? I can't. I mean, children are not completely innocent. Maybe they don't do karma, but their actions are not think it goes to 14, Dennis. I would think it's just puberty, whenever puberty occurs. Whose edition? Can't say. Once somebody asked Prabhupada about the king getting 1/6 of the karma of all his praja, and they asked Prabhupada about that, and Prabhupada said, why 1/6? You know, more, in other words, although it is written 1/6, but I think the parents are responsible for, as long as the child is under their protection, they're responsible for the child in every way. And perhaps, you know, if the child dies before 14, they don't get any karma. I don't know. Or perhaps, you know, after 14 up until, say, 20 or whatever, when the child is married and goes off. It's only 6 years, but maybe they get so much karma in that period that it makes up for the first 14 years. You don't get away scot-free. I mean, you know, there's nothing like doing something and not getting some, taking some responsibility. Whatever you do in this world, it's just practical. You cannot, for example, if your 10-year-old son, you know, goes into a bank and shoots 3 people, you can't say, well, Your Honor, I'm not responsible for their karma until they're 14. In fact, you're the one who will go to jail. Or it happens in America, 10-year-old kids kill other kids or do crazy things. And it's the parents that the court looks at, why you kept your gun available for the children, etc., etc. That's just practical. I can't see how someone would get free from. There's something there, some type of responsibility. You're not responsible for your thoughts, but if you continue thinking those thoughts, it's not long before they'll become actions. So in one sense, you're responsible for your thoughts.
Huh? One thing else.
Offenses, and you don't get karma for your offenses in mind. But if you go on making those offenses in your mind, they will come from thinking to feeling to will possible. So if you think that up until the age of 14, I'm not responsible for any of my child's activities, but you know, if you don't take some responsibility to form the activities of your child, in other words, when they do wrong, you don't correct them, then invariably they're going to grow up, you know, as bad adults, or bad teenagers, or whatever. All right. Is that all right? Okay, Prabhupada is he's in Allahabad now, and it's October 1932, is 10 years after he met Bhakti Siddhanta, the Ultadanga Gaudiya Mata Calcutta, Bhakti Siddhanta, encouraged him. And another man, why don't you preach Krishna consciousness? Why don't you preach the message of Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking countries? And Prabhupada said, we're under British rule, we have to. Bhaktisiddhanta noticed that both of them had on khadi cloth rather than refined mill cloth, which what happened was the British would get the yarn, or they would get the material from India, take it to England, and on their machines they would make the cloth, then they would bring it back to the India, and sell it to the Indians for a high price. It was just, you know, total rip-off. Hail Britannia. So, Gandhi had a quit India movement. He wanted to throw out the British, so he figured, well, with non-cooperation, we won't wear their cloth. They can make as much as they like, but we just won't. They used to make their cloth on hand machines. Big factory machines. You see in Bengal today, it's about from here to there. It's a network of threads. Someone's pushing a thing back and forth. And the thread is going across. It's like a giant hand-operated sewing machine. Bhaktisiddhanta knew that they were in Gandhi's movement. So I said, why don't you preach in the English-speaking world? And Prabhupada said, the British, until we kick the British out. And then Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is all mundane, and the absolute truth is not dependent on who is managing the world. The politicians are temporary. They come and they go. Spiritual life goes on and on. So then he was given a big post in Jagadish Subhash Chandra Bose's Bose laboratories, and he was made in charge of northern India for all sales. And then he came to Allahabad. At that time it was called Prayag, where a couple of Malayas, and he started Prayag Pharmacy, where he sold his own retail shop, as well as he sold to agent. He was an agent, the main agent. He would distribute his pulse pharmaceuticals or whatever. So he was mostly alone. He remembered, he said, in 1922, I immediately accepted him as my spiritual master, not formally, but in my heart. And so then I didn't see him again for many years because he shifted. It's not that he chose, gosh, I think I'll test him out for 10 years. It was just that, you know, he had a family and had to see about his business. So he went there. And in 28, when Tirtha Maharaj came there with the Sankirtan party and said, we want to start a temple here. We heard that you are a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada was very ecstatic to see them, and he helped with a donation, helped get the ashram, the temple going. And then in 1932, Abai heard that Bhaktisiddhanta was in Vrindavan doing Vrajamandala Parikram, Kartik So Abhay went to join and hear the lectures of Bhaktisiddhanta very close to his ears. Kansi was rapt in attention. R-A-P-T. W-R-A-P-P-E-D is the way you wrap a present, but it wraps with attention. And so Bhaktisiddhanta was very pleased with him. So then he came to Allahabad, Bhaktisiddhanta, and he was giving initiations. And Prabhupada went there, and on the day of the ceremony in early 1933, the candidates for initiation meet their Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta recognizes Abhay. Yes, he likes to hear. He does not go away. I have marked him. I will accept him as my disciple. At the initiation, Abhay is called forward to receive Harinam by accepting the Japa Mala. At the same time, he is given the sacred thread denoting Diksha, spiritual initiation. Both initiations are offered together, along with the name Abhay Charanara Vinda Das. The devotion he had first imbibed from his father is now strengthened by a personality capable of guiding all conditioned souls towards love of Godhead. So that's the way it is in the Godi month. Also, they don't give any separate Harinam, but you get Harinam as well as Yajna Pavitra, sacred thread, at the time of Diksha. So it's just that we give a little more importance to the holy name. So we have a first initiation. They also now are giving first initiation, but they really are cheating people because you can still be eating meat or doing anything. They don't really check. Be the first time you've met them. Yes, we'll take initiation. They give you a name. They have a fire sacrifice at that initiation.
First initiation.
No. Abhay Charanaravinda is a little different from the other disciples. Although he is well liked, some consider him entangled in householder life with wife and children, and not able to fully surrender his time and energy to preaching. He is seen more as a congregational member and is simply Abhay Babu. Babu means a businessman. The Grihastha, businessman, not the full-time missionary. Of course, one can never know the mind of a Vaishnava. Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyana Mudraya. Nor can one know a Vaishnava by outward appearance. To the extent that one judges a devotee by external considerations, to the same extent one is under an external conception of the self. Although the character and behavior of a Vaishnava is naturally at the highest standard, external appearances may not always be an accurate guide to the quality of his service and surrender to his Guru Maharaj. By 1934, Abhay's business declines because people who owe him money cannot pay their outstanding bills. He is forced into liquidation to absolve himself from debt. Undaunted, not disturbed, he travels to Bombay in search of opportunities to provide for his wife and children. There he meets two sannyasi godbrothers, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj and B.S. Goswami Maharaj. All three consider the meeting auspicious. Bhakti Saranga Goswami. Although the sannyasis are Abhay's seniors, they look to him for help in opening a local branch of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Gaudiya Mutt. Bhai introduces them to business acquaintances, and they begin to collect substantial donations. In July 1935, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta arrives to install the deities for the newly opened Bombay Gaudiya Mutt. Wow, I didn't know that Bhakti Siddhanta installed the deities. Did you know that? You know where the Gaudiya Mutt used to be in No. It used to be downtown near Radhagopina Temple. What do they call it? It was in a big old building. Well, it's old when I saw it. 30 years before. Right downtown. Gwalior Tank Road. Goswami Maharaj is so impressed with Abhay's qualities that he inquires why his Grihastha godbrother is living separately when he should be the president of the Bombay Gaudiya Mutt. The Thakur's prophetic reply is repeated to Abhay. It is better that he is living outside your company. He will do. When the time comes, he will do everything himself. You don't have to recommend him. Prophetic, huh? Amazing. You know this word, prophetic? Prophecy. Abhay treasures these words, meditating deeply on their meaning. In November 1935, Abhay goes to Radha Kund to see his spiritual master again. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta takes this opportunity to speak in confidence to his Grihastha disciple, who is aloof from the Gaudiya Mutt's internal politics. It would be better to take the marble from the floor and secure money, he confides. If I could do this and print books, that would be better. Since this temple has been given by Mr. Dutta, our men are fighting which room I shall occupy. So I know there will be a blazing fire here. I had a desire to print some books. If you ever get money, print books. The message goes deep into Abhay's heart. So there's one temple in Calcutta that one businessman, wealthy businessman, donated at it was a nice temple with marble and everything. But Bhogasvarya Prasakdhanam Tayapari Dichetasam. Even Vaishnavas get bewildered by material opulence and start thinking, this, I need this, I need this, I need this, this is mine. A year later, Abhay writes to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta in Puri, asking if there is some special service he can do for him. Within 2 weeks, he receives a letter dated December 13, 1936. Quote, I'm fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teaching to the people in general as well as philosophers and religionists. Abai realizes that this is the same message he received at their first meeting in 1922. A fortnight later, on New Year's Day, 1937, he receives the news of his spiritual master's passing away. Feeling empty and helpless, he finds solace in that last letter. Succession, and through the disciplic succession we can please Krishna. And we're part of Krishna. So if we please Krishna, we please ourselves also. Bodies. Some of them are young, some of them are old, some of them are healthy, some of them are unhealthy. But overall, they're all meeting the same place. So, this is it. This is our chance. Some hour or other, by hook, by crook, by any means, we have to succeed. These books, they can teach me. It's true, these books. Gold, of course. This is a nice book, but it's esoteric. It's welcome. Books, of course, are Prabhupada's books, because just like the other day, you know, we had a kirtan in the temple. led by someone who has no austerity, no sadhana, no purity. In form only, he's a devotee. Even that is not very good. And everybody sensed it. You feel the energy. You feel the vibration. His heart was not clean. And it emanated through the sound. But when you read Prabhupada's books, very special. Very special. Reading his disciples' books are also good. Helpless, he finds solace in that last letter in which he was given his life's work. That final instruction now becomes a mandate, an order, that enters deep into his soul. But being a householder, he's not sure how he will be able to fulfill this daunting task, in other words. It seems impossible. How can I do it? There's too many odds. How can we preach and smoke? Everybody's a meat eater, everybody's after intoxication, sex is everywhere. All the principles of religion are being attacked by these sinful activities. So, how will we, a small group, just reading this, a nice one woman, forget her name, famous author or something. She wrote something that I find is quite good, that a small group of determined people may appear that they can't make a difference, but actually, in fact, it's the only thing that ever has made a difference. Such an impact on the world that he changed the course of history just by their sincere determination. And that's the only thing that ever has changed the world. When one strictly tries to serve one's spiritual master, everything unfolds by the arrangement of Krishna. Taking up the serious study of Bhagavad Gita, Abhay is particularly impressed with the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in connection with the verse Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Guru Nandana. Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is the fixed or the resolute determination to do something. That. We need to focus, therefore, all the meditation, the pictures of Krishna, the chanting of Krishna, the prasad of Krishna. We need to get all of our energy and focus it on our service to Krishna and on our glorification of Krishna. Otherwise, the world is a world of fantasy, phantasmagoria. World of names and objects, and it's designed in such a way that our senses just get dragged here and there. Nice example of a fish attracted by its tongue dies. A deer attracted by the scent of a female. Caught by the hunter, elephant by the sound of the process is going full force. All five of them dragging us down. So you have to withdraw. You told Nishchalati Manas Chanchala Master Tadastato Yamyaita. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, we have to withdraw it. There's so many branches, not only in this world, in this body, but on other planets, in other bodies. So many paths you can follow. But if you want success in anything, you do in life, anything, you have to fix your mind on it. How much more so spiritually? So the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that one should embrace the words of the spiritual master as his life and soul, rigidly carrying out the specific instructions without caring for personal loss or gain. Quote, "The best kind of intelligence I can have is intelligence used in the service of Krishna. Intelligence is defined as fixed when it is intent upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the name of Krishna, remembering his activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. My spiritual master's instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the beginning stages of bhakti as well as in bhakti's perfectional stage. I desire only to follow his instructions, and I accept nothing else as my life's work, even in dreams. Whether I am happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or is destroyed, I don't care. There is no loss for me. I simply must carry out the orders of my spiritual master, steadfast upon his orders, his determined intelligence in devotional service." What is that about? And only by being fixed on his orders can such determined intelligence prosper. This is purport to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Bhagavad Gita. Abhay is so inspired that by this insight that he makes it the main tenet of his life. It becomes his raison d'être. You know this word, raison d'être? It's reason for being. It's French, I believe. Okay. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? We should all, not all, maybe three of us should.
Well,
that'll take us that long to say Gayatri.
I just have one question. If you repeat that example of senses, animals are a chicken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A deer by smell. Deers have a very strong sense of smell. Yeah. You say?
Hmm?
Firefly. Moth or firefly, if I say. Tongue eats the delicious worm on the end of the hook. What else? What other sense is that? You can do it, you know, like Prabhupada does. He talks about the three modes of nature and the 80,000 species. So he says 3 times 3 is 9, 9 times 9 is 81. In that way. But if you go on multiplying it, it doesn't come to 8,400,000. So you just say, mention 4 of them and say, in that way, human beings have all 5 senses.
You mentioned that we should take the chant by hook or by crook. I wonder what this means.
Well, it's an old English expression. It doesn't mean you go out and rob banks.
No, but how can we take the
chant? You don't know, because in America, the devotees actually thought it meant by crook, by, you know, distributing books, even by cheating people. That's not what Prabhupada meant. It meant you somehow or other, you give a lot of attention to it. It's, you know, you have nothing else. As Vishwanath Chakravarti was saying, whether the world is destroyed or it's not destroyed, it doesn't matter to me. I have to carry on the order of my spiritual master. They were always asking Prabhupada, because at that time it was quite possible that there would be a nuclear holocaust, a nuclear war. So they were always, what do we do if there's a nuclear war, Prabhupada? Prabhupada would say, the devotee will just look up and he's chanting Hare Krishna and say, oh, here comes a bomb. Just continue chanting. Who's he going to run somewhere and save yourself? And there is a difference. I've met devotees who have been in dangerous situations and they've thought of Krishna. And I met other devotees who were in dangerous situations and they were just scared. That's a good example. One of my godbrothers, Sannyasi. Know this story?
About Jesus?
Huh? Jesus' mother, Mary, Trevor Crumbs. Well, at least he mentioned something about God.
What was the car accident?
No, it was. What happened was he backed into one lady. She freaked out. The police came. No. No, he was driving in a taxi. The taxi was taking him to Vrindavan from Delhi. It was late at night and he was sleeping in the back seat. And the taxi drives very fast, but at the same time, late at night, there's lots of buses and trucks that drive on the road, and a lot of the drivers get drunk. So he woke up when the taxi had pulled around a truck to pass the slow truck. And on the other side of the road, as the car was going around the truck, this bus came. It was a couple of trucks. A bus came barreling down. Came very quickly, came down the other side. And Trivikram Maharaj woke up just to see the lights of the bus headed right for his taxi. So he, Jesus, Mother Mary! He used it. He said it.